chapter 1, and then Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So let's just go through this one time. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Okay, then let's see, Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah 40, 31. Okay, we'll go through this one time. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 31. And then Isaiah 41, 10. Do that one time. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41, 10. And then Habakkuk 3, 18. Habakkuk 3, 18. We'll go through this once. Habakkuk 3, 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18. And then John 17:17. We'll go through this once. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. And then Ephesians 4, 15. Ephesians 4, 15. Oops. Okay, go through this once. Ephesians 4, 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4, 15. So we want to give him the truth, but we need to do it in love. Proverbs 16, 6. Proverbs 16, 6. We'll go through this. Why don't we go through this one twice, because this is a newer one. Proverbs 16, 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16, 6. Proverbs 16, 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16, 6. And then Proverbs 22, 21. Proverbs 22, 21. Let's go through this one twice. Proverbs 22, 21. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Proverbs 22, 21. Proverbs 22, 21. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Proverbs 22, 21. So we're thinking in our conversations, just We never know what someone's going to say, but just have that in our minds. Honesty, honesty. I want to be honest with this person. I want to get them the truth because they may never hear it from anyone else. Okay, then we've had some new ones turned in Sunday. Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. Okay, let's go through this one twice. We can omit just the Psalm of David part, so we'll start in with "The Lord is my light." So, Psalm 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 27:1. We may need that verse when we're on the run. And then Psalm 27:11. Psalm 27:11. And let's go through this one twice as well. Psalm 27:11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Psalm 27:11. Psalm 27:11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Psalm 27:11. And then one last one turned in, Psalm 27:14. And let's go through this one twice, Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 27:14. Psalm 27:14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 27:14. So I'll pray that these would get down in our hearts and be a blessing. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father in heaven, we thank you for these verses that do encourage us. We thank you for the admonition to memorize them, to hide them in our hearts. We thank you for these that have turned in these verses to us to guide and direct and help us. And they're sharing, Lord, the verses that are important to them. What a blessing that is to have others there to have these verses that meaningful now. We just bless our time together as we hear your word preached, and pray strength the pastor, give him the word to say, give him wisdom, give him a sharp mind, and give us listening ears and open hearts to hear what you have to say for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Okay, then if we could go back to Colossians chapter 1. We've been in a series here on prayer to know the will of God and to do it. We looked at, number one, prayer to be filled with the knowledge of his will, from verse 9. Number two, prayer to walk worthy of the Lord, verse 10. Number three, prayer to be strengthened with all might, in verse 11. We looked at that last week. Why do we want strength? Why do we want might? What would we do with it? And we looked at those questions. Now tonight, a new one here. Number four, giving thanks unto the Father. Prayer, giving thanks unto the Father. And we're at verse 12, Colossians 1:12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." You know, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he taught them to pray to the Father. And you notice this says here, verse 12, "giving thanks unto the Father." Notice with me in Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11 and verse 1. The Bible says here, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say what? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So he taught them to pray, verse 2, to the Father. When ye pray, say, Our Father. Now when we compare this and combine this with other scripture, we're to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name. Notice in John 14. So the Lord taught his disciples to pray to the Father, and then he further taught them to pray in his name, Jesus' name. John 14:13. And whatsoever ye shall ask, what? In my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in what? My name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So twice in this passage, he tells us and his disciples to pray in his name, in Jesus' name. And it's not the only time he told them to do that. Look in chapter 15, John 15:16. John 15:16. Says, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of" who? "Of the Father, in" what? "My name, he may give it you." So here he's combining both teachings, what he taught his disciples, and now what he's teaching them yet further. "Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father, in my name, he may give it you." And then in chapter 16. So we've seen this in John 14, John 15, and now John 16. He's telling them the same thing. Verse 23. John 16:23. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask" who? "The Father, in" what? "My name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." So who are we asking? The Father, in whose name? Jesus' name. Okay, so that's what he taught his disciples. So that's why we start our prayer to the Father and close it in Jesus' name. And so back in Colossians 1, in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. Earthly fathers are called to be the breadwinners of the home. And it's not that the ladies can't supplement. We find in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman there was making girdles and selling them. She didn't have a store. She took them to the merchant. So it was like a home-based business. Notice with me in 1 Timothy 5. Nonetheless, it's as men, it's our responsibility. It's not forbidding the ladies to, like I said in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman was making and selling the girdles there to the merchant. But nonetheless, it's as men, it's our responsibility. When we say the man is the breadwinner, that doesn't mean the man goes to the fair and tries to win, you know, how many tosses he can throw the ball in a certain spot. He's not trying to win the bread that way. He's trying to earn the bread. In 1 Timothy 5:8, this is a reminder to us guys. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." In other words, you know, even unsaved people have this gist, you know, and if we as Christian men are lazy and not supplying the needs of our family, and of course, us men can't do it of ourselves. We need the Lord's help, and so that causes us to come and cry before God for his help, but it's our responsibility as men to provide for the home, and it, as I said, it moves us to come before God asking for help that we can do that. And that's the example right from the start. Notice in Genesis 2:15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to what? Dress it and to keep it." So man's first job was gardening. That was his first job. The first job ever given to man was to do the garden. So now take it easy on the guy, your husband at home or your father at home. If he's already got a job, you know, you might not want to lay on him all the gardening too. This was Adam's only job, remember, at the time. Gardening takes a lot of hours. I understand that. So, and after sin entered into the picture, gardening got a lot harder. My wife and I was talking about that. Potatoes. My grandfather on my dad's side told me, he said, back in the old days, he said, they got in their potatoes just as soon as the ground thawed. He says, any potatoes put in later, he said they always used to call them bug potatoes. Do you have any idea why they called them bug potatoes? Well, if you've ever raised potatoes, you know those potato bugs. So, you know, between potato bugs and between the raccoons getting in the corn and the woodchucks getting in the squash, and it's a challenge to grow a garden. There was a man, I believe his name was John Green, one of the very early, if not the earliest, settler of Greenville. John Green. There used to be a little book, thin little paperback book, telling his story. But in that booklet, if I remember correctly, it told about the first year he came to this area and planted, I don't know if it was corn. I can't remember what it was, but all I remember is he said, the red squirrels about ate it all. So his first garden was not too successful here in Greenville. So anyway, in Genesis 3:17, we want to read here, things got harder, much harder, after sin entered the picture. Genesis 3:17, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is what? The ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." So notice, even after the sin, you know, what was put on Eve here was the childbearing. That would be her sorrow part of it. It would be difficult. And Adam's sorrowful part is still winning the bread, maybe on a bigger scale here now. But although maybe I shouldn't say that, the Garden of Eden, I don't know how big the Garden of Eden was, but I'm sure it had something of everything. It would have been amazing. The Bible prophesies that Israel will fill the face of the earth with fruit. And Israel, I haven't checked in recent years, but it seems like the last time I did, Israel was like the third largest producer of oranges for the whole world. And if you look at a satellite picture, you'll see that most of that is by irrigation. It's pretty amazing what God has done there. But so anyway, Adam's job is still tending to the food here, trying to raise food. So men and their jobs and put in long hours, and the ladies, especially when you have small children, normally put even longer hours in than the men, because they're with the children all day long and they're with the children all night long too, especially when they're small and they need to be fed in the middle of the night and other issues. So it's a 24-hour job. So what I'm about to say here is not to belittle the mother's place, the wife's place in the home, because they're on call 24 hours a day. But men put in often long days, and the problem is normally sometimes men get to work at home, and that's a blessing, but most of the time, at least until COVID days, men would have to go to work, and many times are gone many hours of the day. Notice what Jacob faced in Genesis 31. Genesis 31. This kind of gives us a little picture of it. Genesis 31, 38. Genesis 31, 38. Jacob's talking. It says, "This 20 years have I been with thee." He's talking to his father-in-law. "Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the what? The drought consumed me, and the what? The frost by night, and my sleep what? Parted from mine eyes." In verse 41, had been going on 20 years. Day and night, I mean, he was out there 24 hours a day sometimes. Sometimes we see him coming back in, of course, but he put in long, hard days. And because, I'm trying to liken this to our Heavenly Father, and it's because the man is gone from home so many hours of the day, it's often easier for the children to bond much more so with mom than with dad, because dad is gone so many hours. And out of sight normally with us is out of mind. And so it's a real challenge for dads to have the hearts of their children. So when a need arises, even though the dads are out there working all those hours to provide for the family, when there is a need, sometimes, you know, maybe the blame goes on the father who is out there working to try to provide for the family. And of course, there's obviously all kinds of factors that enter into needs. So, you know, you can always find dozens of exceptions, but nonetheless, even though he's out there trying to provide financially for the home, when there is a need and when that need can't be met, often the blame can be placed on his shoulders. I'm not saying rightly placed on his shoulders, but I'm just saying often he has to bear the blame or the need on his shoulders. So, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Remember, we're trying to liken this to God because we cannot see God the Father with our eyes, our physical eyes. And so what I'm trying to get at is this: out of sight, out of mind. And so when we have a need, do we go to God with a critical spirit saying, "God, why aren't you supplying this need for me?" Philippians 2:14. "Do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings." Now, with our earthly fathers, you know, they come home from work tired. Not that everyone else isn't tired as well, but nonetheless, they come home tired. Do we murmur and complain at our fathers because, you know, we don't have this or that, maybe that the other children have? Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be what? Blameless and harmless, the what? The sons of God. So we're looking at our Father, our Heavenly Father. When there is a need, are we quick to murmur and complain like the children of Israel were? It says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So God the Father is out of our sight, not just 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day or 12 hours a day or 14 hours a day or 24 hours a day. God the Father is out of our sight all the time because God is a spirit. Notice in John chapter 4, and these eyes cannot see in the spirit realm. In John 4:24, the Bible says God is what? A spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is an inner communication because we can't see him. I mean, yes, we can pray audibly if we like, or we can pray silently. God's going to hear the message either way. But the point is we need to communicate. Especially we need to communicate. You know, sometimes distance may put you in closer communication. Especially in this day and age, you've got text. You can text someone instantly around the world. You can do the FaceTime or Skype, other means. I mean, it's tremendous. You know, it used to be with many missionaries, you'd send a letter to a missionary, and it would take them 2 weeks to get it or more. And then when they get time to answer you and they go to mail it back, it's 2 weeks or more. So, I mean, it could easily be a couple months easily between when you write a letter and you receive a letter. I write to our missionaries, I try to each week with an email, and I don't know, maybe emails have to go horseback in some countries, I'm not sure, because it takes a while to receive a reply. I know they're busy too. That was a joke, you know, I'm not mad at our missionaries, don't get me wrong, but Part of communication is not easy, is it? It's trying in a busy schedule, trying to find time. So we can talk to our Heavenly Father, and we should talk to him often. Okay, and in our prayers, let's go back to Colossians 1:12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So Jesus gave us the example of giving thanks. It says, giving thanks unto the Father. How often do we thank the Father for all that he has done in Jesus' name? Well, Jesus left us the example of doing that. Notice in Matthew 11:25. The Bible says, at that time Jesus answered and said what? I thank thee who? O Father. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. So Jesus left us that example, thanking the Father. Notice also in John 11:40. How often do we thank God? How many of you have ever been to a business and you said to them, thank you? You know, maybe you ordered something, and I don't know, they say something, and you say, thank you, and they answer, my pleasure. Well, they did that out at the Carr Center. They do that at Culver's, and I've been told that it's part of that Dale Carnegie course of, you know, when someone thanks you for something, you say, my pleasure. I mean, it's like, you know, at some point, the communication ceases, you know. But when they say my pleasure, it's like, okay, well, I don't have to say you're welcome, or, you know, I don't have to finish it with anything else. I mean, that's the last word, but it's something nice, you know. It's like, hey, it's my pleasure to serve you. They're taught to say that. In John 11:40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I what? Thank thee that thou hast heard me. So once again, he's thanking the Father. So you know what the Lord tells us to do? He does. He does. He's not just telling us to do something. He's setting the example. And go to our memory verse there, Philippians 4. And Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, to thank God in our prayer. So, it goes back to out of sight, out of mind. So, when we're young, our dads, our fathers are gone working many hours. When they come home, you know, do we think, why don't you spend more time at home? Or do we think, thank you, Lord, for my dad, my father, who works those long hours that we might have food to eat and clothes to wear and a home in which to live. He's doing all that on our behalf. And as we think about that to God, you know, boy, it's really pretty rude and crude, isn't it, to complain to God, the one who brings the sunshine, the one who brings the rain, that we might have food. It's really pretty ungrateful, isn't it, that we would complain to God. And how many days go by that we don't thank God for all that he does for us 24 hours a day? Things being done on our behalf that we cannot even see. And so it's God is doing all this behind the scenes because we can't see him with these eyes. Just like our fathers do so much behind the scenes because we don't get to see them all day long when they're away at work. When I pondered this thought, it made me go back to Proverbs 3. I find that when I am acknowledging God constantly, I'm thanking him constantly. It's a natural thing. In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In what? All thy ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Why don't we acknowledge him? Well, out of sight, out of mind. We don't acknowledge him when we don't remember that he's there, but he is there. He lives within us, John 14. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, all abide within us. We are his temple when we are Christians. So we need to acknowledge him. This week I went out to burn the papers in our burn barrel, and I usually light the papers with a map gas torch that I have. It's a little hotter flame than propane, and so back when I used to solder, it's like houses used to always be done with copper water pipes for years and years and years, and now it's all plastic PEX tubing. But so soldering is becoming a thing of the past real quick here. But anyway, I normally light the papers in the burn barrel with that torch. But that torch, like me, is getting aged, and it doesn't like to fire up so quick. Sometimes there's an igniter button on it, and I click it and click it and click it and click it and click it. And sometimes I've wondered, is this it? You know, is it done? Is it going to light the igniter? And so this week when I went out to burn the trash, that thought was in my mind. And so I acknowledged the Lord, and I pushed that button. On the first time, it roared into flame. And it almost shocked me, because I've been having to click, 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 click. And the first click, pff, fire. And, you know, it made me think, you know, if we would acknowledge God in everything we do, what kind of flame might it ignite in our lives or in the lives of those around us if we would just acknowledge the Lord instead of going through our day doing everything without talking to Him? If we would say, Lord, I acknowledge You, I need Your help in this. And I just wonder, you know, we're praying for revival. I wonder how God could use us, each one of us, if we really would acknowledge God in all of our ways. I wonder, you know, when we think of revival and prayer for revival, we often think of an extended period of crying out to God for revival. The Lord showed me something with the torch. If we would acknowledge Him, you know, it might please Him to ignite a revival instantly, quickly, a flame of holiness, a flame of revival. That's my prayer. In closing, let's go to Deuteronomy 4. Our nation is in a bad way. We as a nation are just glorifying, it seems like, so many ungodly things, unscriptural things. It's like, what are they going to do next week that's going to be an abomination to God? I don't know. But in Deuteronomy 4 or 5, is there any hope for our land? Yes, there's hope. Deuteronomy 4 or 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so, where? In the land whither you go to possess it. That's what I'm talking about. Honesty. When we talk to people about the Lord, about scriptural things, the tendency is to kind of hold back and, well, they might not accept this. Well, let's speak it in love, but let's be honest. If we don't, will they ever hear it? In the land that we possess. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your what? Wisdom. I'm in Deuteronomy 4, 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of who? Of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is what? A wise and understanding people. We've lost that part of it because we've, as a nation, we've disobeyed the Bible. Once again, we're trying to push abortion on all the other nations. We're trying to push the sodomy agenda on all other nations. You know, if we would practice the word of God and take a stand against those wicked things, other nations would say we were a great and wise and understanding people. Our own governor is trying to sue, I don't know, is she suing herself? Suing the state of Michigan, something about abortion. The fact of the matter is, if you look on our books, and we've done this some years ago, on Michigan books, sodomy is listed as a crime against nature. On Michigan's laws, it's still in there. I know Supreme Court and other court precedents do this and that, but you know what? Most of the time, state legislators do not go back and take off those laws. And there's a lot of good laws still on the books, and I suppose that's what she's doing, is trying to erase now the law, the good laws. So we are despised now by the nations of the world. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? What's the difference between USA and Germany in World War II? Actually, Germany was much more advanced in a lot of areas. One is submarines. They were way ahead of us in submarines. They were way ahead of us in jet engines, which they proved before World War II ended. They were able to put together jets underground and go down, fly them down a short runway down a mountain, get them in the air, something we couldn't do at the time. What was the difference? Only God. Only God. Germany was known for its liberalism, denying the word of God. It was only God's grace that allowed us to win that war. In verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain, what? Burned with fire, under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of what? The midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw what? No similitude, only ye heard a voice. We can't see God. And we can't show other people. We can't make them see God. But when we look at God's statutes here, when we humble ourselves before him, other people can see the fire of God's start. They can see a revival. They can see a great awakening start. They can see the fire of God fall. And I pray that we would acknowledge God in all of our ways. I pray that we could see such a revival. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Father, I pray you would help us to be totally honest with people, to give them the truth. Help us, Lord, to do it in love. But Lord, help us. Help us not to hide the truth from people for fear that they might get mad, or fear that they might not accept it, or whatever the fear is, Lord. Please help us to remember, if they don't hear the truth from us, will anyone give it to them? Father, we do pray for revival. And Lord, we realize that revival must start in each of our hearts. And Lord, I pray you'd help each of us to acknowledge you in all of our ways. and may we see the fire fall. The fires of revival, the fires of people getting saved, the fires of people that are saved but maybe living in sin, seeing them get right with you. Lord, that's what we long to see. So please use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn, please, to 170.